Welcome to the October 23rd Configuration Persistence CPS, Service CPS meeting. Today we'll be discussing some modeling work, and we'll also be, we have invited the people from the SAN OAuth use case team here, and also just a quick readout from the TSC as well. So yesterday I was on the TSC call and they essentially approved RC0 to proceed forward for the release to move forward. And but we also got onto the agenda and we had, Tony had asked about setting up some repositories and things like that. Importantly, they recognize TOIN as the PTL, and they recognize the project officially as its own standalone project. So congratulations, everybody, for the hard work that we all put in to create the project page and the presentations and so forth. So that's a really great milestone. So that was officially recognized. So we, in theory, we have kind of like 2 weeks to get a lot of these other things in place. And they told us to contact Dan Timoney for help on
I have a meeting arranged with Dan next week. So that's in train. I don't think there's too much involved. It's just a repo and the CI job, really. Those are the main things.
Yeah. Okay, great. we do also have Jacqueline with us today. To maybe discuss some of the modeling stuff. But one of the important things that we want to discuss with relates to modeling is I put on behalf of all of us a entry for the modeling work that will probably be led by Jacqueline. I currently put it under documentation only, which means it's just modeling work and no software impact. So I wanted to discuss here, should we move this to a category one, which means that there is the result of the modeling has software impact on it. Do we know, or do we have a sense? Anyone?
Ben, if, for example, if we are taking the specific case of the SAN use case, right, and we are trying to model the schemas and whatever, right, and as a result, there's going to be code impact on, let's say, the consumers of CNPS, right, then for sure, yes.
But when we say consumers of CNPS, that would, let's see. Then would that be fit under? Go ahead.
I'm not quite sure, because I mean, I think this is why we need to meet with the people from the SAN OAuth use case. For the actual data that the application needs, it should not be needed. That's the whole point of the model-driven solution that CPS is offering. If what I understand correct is we're trying to get a standard model for more for the applications themselves to describe themselves. Is this what this modeling is about? So you've only heard the odd bit about it. So maybe I'm completely wrong.
I mean, ideally, what the ONAP information model should talk about is just to give a view, in a sense, an abstract view of what information that that ONAP as a system is actually needing and storing about certain entities. And yes, I definitely agree that most of it should be model-driven. But Ben, do you have the link to the R7 version of the model page that I had done? Just to give an idea of what's meant with this.
Sure. you mean this? This one here.
No, that was location.
Oh,
wrong link.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Too many miles in my head. Okay, so let me see. I have that. I think I just have. It might be faster just to pull up the slides that I have here. So
I think it'd be great if we put that link up somewhere, because I think we do have to sync this.
I think I do have that.
You had copied this into the presentation as well, right?
This one, right?
Perfect. Yes. I mean, the initial idea here, and this is actually what we more or less decided is how it looks already in R7. What the ONAP system, or what ONAP as a platform needs to know about these Yang models that we're reading into ONAP, basically it's just a very basic set of information. So here we're picturing this resource app model as some sort of abstract object, which in R7 we realized essentially as a Yang model set. So we have in that a list of Yang module identifiers. And so the idea is basically that the only thing that ONAP really needs to know here is that, well, there's a set of Yang modules, we've read them in somehow, and we've got enough information about each of those Yang modules to group them into this model set, which is associated with the type of resource, basically a resource descriptor, and that each of those Yang modules then is identified. That's it. So you see in the bottom right corner, you have the namespace, the Yang version, and the module name. And that's just basically a way of indexing, saying we have our resource descriptor, which describes the type of resource, and we have the full list of the models that's associated with that. Then you see circled on the right, the resource instance app data, and that actually, that is concrete, but there's no information in it. It's basically just a placeholder to say, well, a resource instance will have some application data, which is read from that resource. And you have an association, an arrow pointing leftward towards the resource app model to say, okay, each resource somehow is associated with a set of models then, in this case, Yang models. And that's it. So it's just basically a way of visualizing the knowledge or the information that ONAP has gained by this with the model-driven talk. The fact that now ONAP knows that a certain resource has a certain set of models.
Can I have a question on that?
Yes, please.
Does it mean that, is this, is it when you do the package you use this then, or the Tosca, or when do you use this CPS? I mean, there is no software impact, you said. So where is the, I mean, if you want to, how do you trigger CPS, so to say? Is it only where models from the package? Or?
Well, hang on. This is the R7 view, and my understanding, and this is where we have to actually think about what's done and what's left to do.
CPS?
Sorry?
So you're asking how you're going to get the models for CPS, or who are you going to fit CPS, or I'm not pretty sure what?
My question was that will you use these models when you build your package, or, I mean, there is no software impact at all. I'm not sure how to rephrase my question. CPS is used to store models and stuff like that. And to be able to use that, you need to use some models, I guess.
My understanding is that there's already a very basic level of support in the onboarding package to include a set of Yang modules.
Yes.
So we have that possibility in the onboarding package.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that's to some extent is what this is referring to as a sort of existing support already in R7.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's one of the questions here, is that this, if this is picturing what we have in R7, and we're sort of assuming that these modules are whatever happens to be in an onboarding package associated with a certain descriptor, then this probably covers everything. Ben, can you switch to the next picture?
Are we done reviewing that picture first?
Are we reviewing it here? I figured we'd
We're
take
not
it
really
Monday.
Reviewing it. The
okay,
thing
question.
That we're, Andy, before you join, what I was asking was, basically I'm just trying to figure out, is there software impact to move this to category one or two? It wasn't meant to be a full review of the model here.
Okay.
So all we're trying to do, we don't have the time to go over the whole, that would be another meeting.
Okay.
Here, I just want to figure out, is what we're doing here, is this just modeling work, or is there code impact to all of this? So,
right. So is the model going to change the code in SDC, in the onboarding package model?
One of the use case team members, Swami, working on the OF Sun use case, said, mm-hmm. There could be software change for that to support and use this, I think is what he said. So so does that count as is software on CPS, or should OF Sun, or should the Sun use case team put an entry
what,
here.
What component's going to be impacted?
So Swami, did you have in mind what the impact might be if, how are you, I mean, so, well, let's see, Swami. Swami, are you there?
Swami is there. There's a Shankar, but I don't.
So I guess somewhere in the CPS, or in the Sun code, in the OF Sun, the OF Sun code,
yeah.
The PCI code, you basically have to use this model, right? Sure. To take the onboarded Yang artifact and absorb it and read from CPS what mm-hmm. has been right. loaded in, right?
So CCSDK so, perhaps, or?
Yeah, by the way, Sandeep is also on the call. I think the answer depends on in the new, after we make the changes with this new model is, mm. whatever is stored in CPS, will it automatically adopt the change, or is there some mapping in SDNR? So yeah, it could be SDNR, CCSDK. I mean, at least you can tell me if I'm understanding the problem correctly. Suppose something changes in the Yang model and an SDNR needs to respond to it. Let's suppose, I'm just making this up. For whatever reason, PCI has, or NRPCI has changed to NPCI. If that change is transparent to SDNR, when it queries CPS database, it'll say, if it has that information, that what you want is this information path to do your Yang work, then it's transparent. But if something else happens where SDNR now has to query and find out, has there been a change and I need to make a change accordingly, then there is code work, I believe, in SDNR just to be able to deal with the change in this model. I don't know if I got the problem.
So I think Yang,
Sandeep, if you're listening, please.
So Yang artifacts are loaded in onboarding time. And basically, this is meant to be kind of a way to encapsulate those Yang modules that are loaded from a vendor. And your example, where basically there's a change in essentially the identifier of a particular parameter within a Yang artifact, would be encapsulated within this resource app model, and then it's in its corresponding instance. So it should be transparent to the actual platform components such as SDNR, and where it really affects is where you're actually using the model, the thing that right. needs to know about the model. So the Sun microservice would need to know that parameter obviously has changed, but that should be completely within the Yang module. So what happens in SDC when you onboard something is SDC preserves the actual artifacts. It doesn't actually kind of destroy them in any way. It actually, what it does is it puts a sort of meta SDC wrapper around those artifacts, and then it tags it to the resource that you need, and then exports it to the associated service CSAR package that it exports.
Okay, so let me say this. I think this whole notion of using the model from STC in STNR, all this work has not been done. So maybe that's what Swami meant. Maybe the whole thing is new, right?
Yeah, Shankar. And also one more point. Sorry, I was speaking on mute, Ben.
So, oh, that's why. Okay.
No, one more point was, at least it's not fully clear to me whether there is, I mean, it might be minor, but will there be any, let's say, code impact in SDC because, for example, a use case such as SON, right, has a certain resource type and has certain relationships and so on, right? So in terms of onboarding the models onto SDC, at least, I mean, I'm not an expert there. So will there be any impact in SDC from a code perspective? That's also something that maybe
we should clarify. That's a good point.
It might be a new artifact type or something.
Yeah. I don't know, Jacqueline, do you have a sense of maybe, I think, Jacqueline, I don't know if you have a sense of that. So at one,
Ben, I think it's clear this is a category one, right? But we don't necessarily understand all the code impacts yet. But
yeah,
it sounds like there are anticipated code impacts.
Yeah. Okay, let's move this to category one. It feels like there's.
I would definitely suggest that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
And then while you're moving it, I'll say, Jacqueline, I want to talk to you about the cardinality at some point.
Yeah, I mean there's a difference between R7 and R8 there, and that's why, and I had presented this at some point. I know Ben has seen these two versions of the model, and I think a bunch of people on the resource IM call had seen these two versions of the models. But I think, Andy, I think you missed both of those times. So there is sort of a question about sort of what's already existing in terms of how we handle Yang modules in R7, which is more sort of this pure, you know, bringing in the contents of the onboarding package, where you just get one large chunk of Yang modules that aren't differentiated in any way. You just sort of know that these are associated with a certain resource descriptor. And that's what the R7 pictures. And then you get to the R8 model, and that's where we might have to think a little bit through how those modules are introduced and how they're used and how they're tagged.
Right. And do they have a distinct representation, and do the values associated with them have a distinct representation so they can be associated with each distinct module?
Yes. And that's where we...
Yeah, I think I was on some of those discussions. That's why so this was the R7 version.
Yeah, what Ben showed there was the simplified R7 version, because we wanted to capture sort of what's already there.
Okay.
But I haven't asked for formal approval of this because missing. But yeah, I mean, I think this sort of is more or less as built, and then we have the R8. Ben, can you switch over?
Yeah. Sorry. Get this off the screen here. Okay.
This is the one I think that we talked about the most, where I was talking about, you know, and this brought in all sorts of things about the way the descriptions in the model, how they actually suit the things that we've done, which has more to do with, you know, PNFs and things like that. But the real essential changes here were the cardinalities, and this is where
that's a star going down to the model there.
Yeah, no, that's a star one. That's sort of hidden under the red circle, but it's there.
Yep.
Yeah, right, yeah. And that's the one that we have to discuss. What does that mean? How do we accomplish that in terms of being able to group the models? Does that impact the descriptors in some way? Does that impact SDC in some way? Does that impact other things? And what conceptually do we want to see there?
Okay, and maybe also another question would be, if you had a package that had multiple resource descriptors within it, is it possible to reapply the same model across multiple resource descriptors?
Oh, that's an interesting question. That's the sort of thing that we have to describe if we want some sort of additiveness, or if we want some other form of structuring of the descriptors. And I mean, that's going to be a much longer discussion. That's really why I wanted to sort of separate out the R7 version, which is much simpler. I mean, it's just, here's a bunch of models. They form together the model set for a certain resource. and comparing that, just that little change in cardinality to a star opens up a lot of questions. So this way we sort of have the more self-evident version and then this one where we have to discuss.
Okay. Thank you. I look forward to the discussions.
Yeah, and we will have a future meeting dedicated to that and the CPS call too. So without further ado.
Hey, Bendy, Sandeep.
Sandeep.
I have a quick question. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, in general, from the SON use case or from network slicing, you know, we have Yang models, right? And we need to be able to inject them into the ONAP system and then being able to execute APIs for our purposes, right? So there's an end-to-end flow. I'm sorry, I have not followed this discussion for a long time. But can you just comment on that end-to-end flow, you know, what it would look like, you know, how do we inject the Yang models in and then, you know, what kind of APIs we can execute and kind of maybe, you know, timeline, right? Is it going to be available sometime in next release, Honolulu or some other time?
Yeah.
That will help.
So, let me see if I have a picture of that. So on onboarding, you are going to, so during onboarding, you will, somebody will basically onboard a Yang model and that'll be exported in as a CSAR service package, right? And we expect, or I would expect that there would be a listener in the actual CPS component, right? So every component in ONAP has essentially a listener that can absorb that service CSAR package. And within it, they're built, and maybe I have, I worked on the onboarding.
I think Tony did some fleshing out of this where he had like three different scenarios.
Yeah.
We did that quite early on.
Right. And Michaela Zhu and I worked on the onboarding use case. I have slides there probably that might help. So basically, you know, the somebody on board, let me see, I have a picture of, Sue put together a good picture of a general sort of onboarding package. So, you know, within this onboarded package from a vendor, you'll be able to specify Yang, a Yang artifacts. Okay, so what happens is SDC takes these and it adds, Okay, so basically it takes these artifacts and adds some extra meta SDC artifacts essentially, but it preserves all the artifacts. The original artifacts are all there, and the artifacts that will have the PCI OSAN PCI values coming from the DGPPTS 28.541 will be preserved, and basically you can access them as well because they're still captured within the overall service CSAR package that SDC will export to a component. So I expect basically CPS will receive this service CSAR package and create the appropriate records. Now, I think where the code change will happen is it's also expected, if I have a picture of, I should have, it may not be in this presentation, but let me see which is the TSC presentation. So we talked about the registry service. Let me see. So many CPS presentations. So we talked about the registry service Let me see. Oh, you know what? It's in the modeling one. Hold on a sec. Here. Okay. So this is where I think the OFSON code will have to get involved too, because basically the OFSON, like microservice, will own the information within CPS, right? So basically you when you want to, let's just take like a PCI value for a particular PNF. Essentially that microservice that you're with, the parameter that you're interested in and the PNF that you're interested in, you own that data. So you basically, even though there's an entry in CPS, you're effectively the owner of that data, right? And so this concept of a registry service will be I assume will be implemented and if not in R8 soon thereafter. Basically, this idea is that you can register the SON microservice registers itself with this registry service and it says, I have this kind of data, right? I have data related to cells, I have data related to 5G NRM, that kind of thing. Then there's corresponding records in the CPS database for those, for XNF106, for example, PNF106, for example. And within that record, you have of PCI values and cell associations. Does that make sense?
That's correct. That's fine, Ben. But I have one question. When you talked about the Yang models, and then it's loaded onto the Yang, the schema, and the CSAR artifacts are listened and by CPS. I had one question in terms of the Yang model to schema mapping, right? How and where it will be done? Because, for example, I mean, if I look at CPS as providing database as a service, right? I might be having an API which says, okay, fetch me all the cells which are in, let's say, in a particular PLM and ID, right? So for this, the schema and the APIs that are exposed by the database should support this kind of functionality, right? Ben? So
yeah. So that's Toyn's department there.
Yeah, maybe can I answer that?
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding here. The mapping happens inside CPS, but it's kind of transparent. The whole idea is that we use the Yang models to, and we don't do this concept of schemas anymore. So there's a generic schema that can store any type of information as long as it's modeled with a Yang model. And our intention is to have, again, a generic Java API and a REST API that you can use XPath expressions to query any such data. So any of those queries, like the one you expressed there, cells having a certain value, having certain attributes, they can be expressed using XPaths. So the CPS will be able to, as long as the data is modeled in Yang, and you can provide a Yang expression to query that data, basically, the solution is there in CPS to query that data using an XPath expression. That is the intention of CPS.
Tony, do you have any kind of sample APIs or at least?
Let me go to the API page. Hold on.
We have an API. We are developing an API. Yeah.
It was here, right?
Yep.
Is the model also going to be represented there? So can I actually retrieve the model as well?
At the moment, the idea was not known. There's still a little bit of discussion where the model is going to be stored. Temporarily in the POC, CPS is actually responsible for storing the models. But there is a vision, really, that the models will be kept by the application that kind of creates them or that owns them. We haven't really fleshed that out. But we're thinking about a separate SPI to resolve that. And whether CPS does it or other applications, that's still a little bit under discussion.
Did you want to talk about this page here? Yeah.
I skipped the issues and decision bit there. So that's now this is, and I want to say this is version 0.01. So it's under construction, but the idea is there that you can store these modules. Now I have had some discussions internally as well, and Jacqueline had the same idea. We might have to change this again to sets of modules that might be important for quite a few use cases. At the moment in the POC, the idea is that you upload a file and it just stores the individual modules that are in that file without keeping the connection between them. But it looks like that we might have to put that back. But the idea stays the same. There's an operation there to add modules. So this is where Ben was talking about earlier. We can have a listener that listens to an event, then finds that file with those Yang modules and stores it in CPS if that's the way it's going to work in the end. But the main idea is that CPS knows about these modules and models. It has this concept of data space. That's a bit like the owner who owns them, who's responsible for them. And then we have, I just want to skip the middle bit because that quite a full presentation there to explain what anchors are. But the persistence is kind of the node persistence. So these are the individual elements in Yang. So the idea is that you can query there, as you can see in number 11 and number 12 and number 13 as well. They're all different variations of querying that data using either XPath expressions across the whole data space, maybe an XPath expression just for one instance tree, or also finally, you can also use XPath expression, which has a slightly different name, but it looks similar. Officially in Yang, it's called a schema node identifier. So it's a bit like internally, I think a lot of people call it a type query, where you ask for certain types of data without having key value names. So it's a more generic type of querying. So all this is envisaged in the CPS API. So this is the REST API. There will also be a Java API that supports the similar methods if you want to use it as a library.
So Tony and Ben, this is Sandeep, we have a list of APIs today for both SON use case and network slicing. And there are a lot of queries, like for example, give me cells, CU cells of a particular tracking area, for example. Yeah. Where it will throw to you like maybe 8, 12, 15, 100 cells, right? Now, how that is, how those queries can be performed with this approach, if you can comment on that. And then what we could do also is, we could give you the list of all the APIs that we are using today and see, how they can be implemented here.
So basically, if I understand it correctly, and I think that's the idea of your application, then it has like, you have your own API that's more specific to your use case, where the CPS is very generic. So you have to translate that specific for your use case query that you get over your REST interface into an XPath expression. And like I said, everything that's stored in a Yang model can be expressed in an XPath expression. And then you can use number 12 there to get any data that from back using that XPath expression.
So I think maybe in your slides here, Toyn, it helps to describe basically when you think about the structure of the things and how it's stored in CPS, this will answer their question of how you query for stuff within the, using an XPath expression, I think.
The example I gave you, right, cells, for example, CU cells. So that, Yang segment repeats itself multiple times with different XPaths, right? Based on the key that's used.
Go ahead, please. I know what you mean. Yeah, so I have a picture there. I think it's slide number 9 there, Ben. I think it's 9. Yeah, so that explains an XPath. So I am not quite sure with the exact terminology in XPaths now, but the way I describe it to people as well, you can have a... maybe a good way of comparing it is with FDNs. A lot of people are familiar with FDNs, so fully distinguished name. That's where you have key value pairs. If you have a fully qualified FDN, that points to one element in your tree. But now you have to imagine that you take out the values, or you take even out part of the path, and you have like wildcards instead of that. So XPath is XPath 3. There's a link there actually on that page there, XPath 3.0. It's like a language in itself that can resolve all these kind of possible paths using a query-like language. So you have to think like, leaving out the keys, or maybe having partial key values or no keys at all, just referring to types of nodes that can resolve any of those kind of queries.
Oh yeah, so this is great. I will look at this presentation. Ben, I will reach out to you to find out these presentations.
Sure.
I have just a follow-up question. I'm not that familiar with XPath. Is this something that has been used a lot for like networking or telecom or radio equipment, or is it generic
Yeah, it's very generic. In the project I worked on inside Ericsson, I worked actually on a CMC LI that could do something very similar. And we were trying to follow, and our architect was very much driven by the concept that was coming from XPath. My understanding was that a lot of people are familiar with XPath. It comes from XML, actually. Mm-hmm. As again, it's very powerful. Now I have to admit, I'm also learning it, so I can't give you a concrete answer how you resolve a certain kind of generic question into an actual XPath query. but I've seen some of the documentation, I've seen some of the examples, and I know it's very powerful. And it's so powerful that I realized there's no point in us trying to come up with something else generic.
Right.
No, exactly. XPath is a pre-written language there that is supported by many tools. As I said, it exists, it's well described, and it's very powerful. So again, why would we try to come up with something else ourselves where we can use these XPaths? I kind of call it XPath expression. I use the XPath expression. I use that term when I mean more advanced query like XPath constructs with wildcards and that kind of stuff. So the example I have there in the second bullet point, that will be an absolute XPath. That's just pointing to one node and one node only. So that's the most basic example. But that's just a starting point, as I said, for the functionality in CPS.
XPath is an standard language, and you should probably go with the standard with the standards. So I think it's really the best choice.
Yeah,
Tony. Based on your review, this technology can support kind of simple complex queries we can do in MySQL. Is that correct, MariaDB, for example?
Well, that's CPS's construct. So we need to translate the XPath expression into something the underlying database technology understands. So at the moment, we're actually, we switched to Postgres actually because it was a little bit easier. But the whole point of CPS is that you can switch in any database technology. And like, for instance, a graph might even be a better-based solution, a more performant solution. But the idea is that behind the SPI, we translate the XPath expression in something that relates to the underlying database technology.
Right. So basically, the SDNR will reach out to CPS, right? It will execute APIs against CPS to get what it needs.
Yeah.
So we will not be executing these XPath based APIs, or we'll be using APIs based on some underlying database technology.
No. If you use CPS, you will be. That's I think the easiest way is to use the XPath expression to get your data.
Okay.
That's very much the function of CPS. That is what its job is, to translate those XPaths into the underlying database technology. And see, the whole point is we want to get away from these hard-coded schemas and queries and all that stuff. The whole idea is to be generic and to be able to store any type of data without schema updates, without code updates, and be able to query it using XPath expressions.
Does that work with Swagger too?
That's actually, we just finished that. We took that proposal that you saw there a minute ago. We created that. We put it into a Swagger file, and we have code generation working now that gives us the REST interface for that.
Great. Thank you.
I have a comment. So Ben and Tuan and the team, I'm glad to see so much detail being fleshed out. Just want to make a comment from the OFSON perspective, and this you probably know this, and I don't need to say it, but I just want to repeat it. When we envision a solution like this with many parts, I hope there is thought given to what do we have to do to have one working implementation, which without waiting for all parts to be ready, so that we have something.
I appreciate that. The main thing I would say about what we're doing, I definitely know we need to have more chats with the team that's implementing that PCI use case to see where we both are and where we are in reality. We're just wrapping up our POC and starting this project, so obviously there's still a lot of work to be done. But the way I see it, and I see it very much as evolving, looks to I think the nice thing about the XPath solution is, and using that in our API, is that we can start with like we have to build up the there. And that's simple, that'd be there in the once. And then we probably have to look at your use case. Okay, what type of query is the first thing you need? And we'll have to evolve it based on priorities and add support for different types of queries in the XPath expression. But the nice thing is it doesn't change the interface.
Yes, yeah. I absolutely appreciate the whole notion of making incremental steps towards something which is the right answer, which is the right target solution, so that we don't waste effort along the way. Thanks.
And this is Pavel. I have a short question. So do you have any experience with mapping XPath to RDBs or any POC for that? What the performance could be or so on? Or this is just an idea and you will evaluate it along the time?
We have done a little bit of performance testing, but we haven't gone into any advanced queries yet. I have a different slide pack. We've done some performance testing where we did quite a number of queries, or very complicated. We did one very complicated query over a tree with 75,000 elements, where we had a bit of a wildcard expression on the XPath, and that returned in less than a second. So we have a bit of an ID, but you're right. We're still in the POC phase. We haven't tried everything out, but we have a bit of an ID that it performs well enough for these type of use cases.
And what type of database you use for these tests? It's MariaDB or?
At the moment, we've used Postgres for that test. We started with MariaDB, but at some stage we realized, especially for storing the generic objects, that Postgres was a little bit better, so we swapped to Postgres. But again, I'm making the point that the idea of the implementation is that we can swap in any database technology that is best suited. So it could still, if we find performance issues, we're still open to swap in, and maybe a graph database might be a better solution. But the problem is the availability of open source solution is a bit limited, of course.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure if you're talking, but you're on mute.
Oops, sorry. Yeah. So just so you know, thank you. I have a scheduled a use case realization call for this topic and an overview of CPS in general on November 19th. And you can download the slides here. And also I put in the chat also the RA Wiki project page. And if you scroll down to supporting files, you'll also find the slide pack there as well. So
thanks for that, Ben.
So let me see where here. Okay, let me put this in the chat also. Chat, everyone, paste. Okay, so I also put the chat into the upcoming meetings in the chat, so you can at either of these two places, and there are other places too. You can download the slide pack, but okay. So that was one. We really wanted to have kind of an open discussion with the SON team, just to sort of see what communicate, some of the ideas in CPS, and also exactly what sort of Sandeep was asking. How can the team use the interface with CPS and its APIs? So one of the topics we talked about was the whole querying and XPaths and.
Sorry, Ben, I'm not quite clear. Are we following up on this discussion in the next meeting as well, more specifically focusing on the SonOF use case, or are we only discussing it in this meeting?
I haven't set up any kind of agenda for next week's meeting, which is October 30th.
Sorry, I was referring to the SonOF meeting that's right after this meeting.
So Shankar and Swami, are on the call.
Because I have some return questions about their use case and trying to understand how they go about it. So maybe that's the more appropriate form for me to ask those questions.
We absolutely could. Sandeep, can you join the SON call also?
It's right after this call. Is that correct?
Yes, right after this call. Yeah.
Okay. And also, I had one other point we have to discuss, Shankar, regarding the YAN models themselves. So that's also something we need to
absolutely
talk about.
I actually had a comment about the model, actually two of them. One is, what model are we actually going to use? And two, what assumptions do we have to make about sort of actually using them? What I'm trying to say is, let's say we want to get something working quickly, and we may not have all the interfaces or all the implementation to use some the CSR package from STC, or maybe all that work doesn't get completed. So if there's a way to just take a part of a Yang model and say, this is, I know this is what it is, and just use it hard-coded without waiting for all the STC and the model loading to work.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend that
about
as well.
That part. Yeah.
Yeah, I would suggest, and that's what I envisaged at this time frame anyway, if we want to get started with this, that we, and that's there already. So in the POC, you can just supply models. So that's the first thing we implemented, that you just add the models as opposed to model discovery.
Exactly.
So yeah. That's actually there, because, yeah, to prove my proof of concept, that's what I needed. I just needed, and I've developed this little bookstore model to test it and to show demo our use cases with that. So that's exactly what we have at the moment, and it will be take some time before we can discover, or before we have other mechanisms to add models. One of the main questions I had is are you using your own model specifically just to basically to represent the schema that you have? I presume that's the easiest starting point. But I would think that the end goal is that you can use existing models coming from the nodes themselves describing that data. But that might be a little bit further away before we can use those models. I don't know.
Yeah, the models coming from the nodes, I think we are, the industry is not there yet fully. So we'll have to sort of just make up a model that is based on the standard.
So you have you have your own normalized model effectively.
We have to. So what we have been doing is in release 5 and 6, we used what was there, and then we're waiting for the model to be standardized in ORAN. It's a 3GPP ORAN model. And I think Sandeep already did a lot of work in just sort of creating a sample model based on the standard that we anticipate. And again, we have the advantage of what we want to do is small. So we can just take a small segment and just work with that.
Yeah. No, that sounds for me a very sensible thing to start for the CPS itself as well. Because one of the things I'm still a bit anxious about is if once we get many models working together, that's where the complexity kicks in. And as I said, and as any project, I think makes sense. We need to evolve. So we need to start with a simple, single symbol model. And we have a lot of things in place already. And we just need to find out from your use case, what type of queries do you need? And then we can focus on those.
Yeah, there is one topic that's bubbling up in my mind. I think it's worth just mentioning it. Let's say we take this simple thing saying, get the PCI of a cell. What we did before was, because everything was manually done in the schema, there was an API saying, get the PCI of a cell. I mean, get cell PCI or something like that. I think now what's going to happen is any ONAP component, it could be STNR, it could be OF, it could be a microservice, now needs to be aware of how to use expats to use that API to figure out, I want to get PCI of a cell, but I need to be now aware of the whole Yang model or how the traversing. Is that a correct assumption?
I think that's what we need to flesh out together. On, of course, you'll have to understand expats up to a certain level. We can find out, okay, well, what instead of, I think nobody understands or knows the whole Yang, expat 3.0, what it is capable of doing. But I'm sure you and I can very quickly find out the concepts we need from it to be able to address your query. And it's not complicated, expats. It's relatively simple. I think any developer will get the main concept quite quickly.
No, but my question is more, a little bit more architectural, which is, suppose there is a piece of code which says, okay, you if you want, get PCI of cell or get cell info, and you get back some structure. And there is a way of doing this using expat so that the main CPS API just understands it. That, let me just call that a raw, low-level expat compatible API.
Yep.
Are we saying all modules now need to know this, or there might be, I don't, I think we're trying to get away with it, away from, or might there be a translation saying, okay, you just want get cell info and you just send that and CPS will understand what you mean.
So
that means there is a translation inside CPS, which, yeah.
So there, it's possible to put wildcards inside of XPath expressions. So you can just say that you want the cell ID, the PCI, and you should navigate it to it automatically. However, I think there is one issue which Shankar is kind of bringing up with XPath, and that's that Yang is kind of a complicated language. And if you just look at a Yang document, it's not clear what the tree structure actually is, because you can, that's only clear after you perform all the grouping and other kinds of substitutions. Yeah. So you know, that is the one, from what I see, the one downside of using Yang, or rather using XPath. But this can be addressed by various kinds of support, such as exporting the nature of the actual tree, which is being stored.
Thanks, Ted. Yeah. Anything that helps make it easier, because there are multiple modules querying for the same thing. So
it used to be the case that Pyang would export an XSD, which describes the tree structure, but that seems to be deprecated.
Yeah, I think, Ted, you mentioned before, there is several tools to visualize the Excel tree that is there, and I think that might be something that could be helpful here to for the end user to get to see that tree structure.
And along the lines, anything the whole CPS team as a whole can do to make it easier for anyone else who is developing a microservice anywhere in ONAP, they'll say, look, I understand databases, but I don't need to know the Yang model. I'm just trying to get one thing from this database. So any SDKs, any libraries, anything that helps other components would be a good idea.
I think we have to be careful though, like the idea about CPS is that's generic. It does not know anything about things like cells or anything like that. If you want a convenient kind of query service or something that knows about cells and knows how to get a cell info, that could be a microservice that sits on top of CPS. So that microservice might fulfill that purpose for kind of generic common kind of things that maybe people want to know about cells. So that could be a microservice that does that. And then that might be convenient for other users that don't know the models, not familiar with models, but just use that microservice then, if that's sufficient. And that microservice then knows how to translate that into a Yang expression. And then CPS, again, CPS doesn't know anything. It doesn't even know that it's dealing with radio nodes. It has no such concepts. Mm-hmm. And the API will never have things like get me the cells. The purpose of the CPS is to be generic.
Yeah, adding to that one, with respect to the translation, if you look at currently APC or SDNC, or I don't know, I didn't work much on SDNR, but mainly APC and SDNC, which they use the same CCSDK, ODL, CCSDK. Once they take example of vFirewall, for instance, just an example. Once the APC or SDNC opens a NetConf session, it downloads all the Yangs and it translated them to RESTConf APIs. I don't know, I mean, just trying to make a correlation, what you are saying here, a microservice which does this work on top of CPS.
That might be possible. I know what you're saying, I've seen it, but I've seen this at a high level of, and I've seen some of the code, how that's done. Converting the Yang, how do you say it? It generates the API for those particular models. The one thing that's not clear to me is that's done at design time, is it? As in coding?
No.
It gets generated as part of the.
Actually, what happens during the session establishment? I mean, the hello message and the negotiation. Then, what it does, the ODL, SDNC, or APC, it goes and fetch all the Yangs and put them in. There is one path, if I remember, in one of the SDNC or APC pod. There is a path that Yang/cache, something like this. It downloads all these Yangs and it renders them all to RESTConf API. Then when you go to SDNC or APC API doc in the web browser, you will see, you click on the mount, device mount, you see all the APIs, RESTConf APIs related to the to those Yanks, particularly, let's say, for cell ID or anything available to fetch or to create or to put or to delete.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tony, this Sandeep, I think, you know, one issue also we had found, you know, get, like as, you know, was this being discussed, get, put, delete, post, you know, these four APIs, I think they are okay. But when you talk about patching, right? So you have a Yank segment and you need to patch just one parameter or one leaf node, right? And you need to really use the patch command, patch API for that. And I think there's a new technology now, or at least there's a new IETF RFCs that were published, you know, in a last couple of years. So we need to support them as well, because that is very important, especially, you know, when you want to just update some variable, because the put delete, you know, they basically take the whole Yank segment and replace it with something else. And we may not have all the leaf nodes corresponding to that Yank tree. Yeah, you get the concept.
Yeah, that's correct, Sandeep. That was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Yank patch, if you look at the RFC of the
Yes,
Yank
yes.
patch.
Yes,
this is
yes.
really powerful when it comes to updating or editing any parameter or any configuration.
Did I hear right? You said get, put, delete, and then you said something else, which I'm not sure.
Post.
POST, is this right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right.
So this Yank patch is an alternative for that, that takes, does that still take in Yank fragments, or does that work in some other way?
It's a little different syntax, you know, the way the payload and the target path and so it's a little different from normal get, put, delete, post.
Yeah.
Okay, would you be able to share some information on
basically
that?
Basically, how it works, basically how it works, the Yank patch, you can have a bunch of parameters you want to update or you want to create in one command in sequence. This is how it works, Yank patch. You can edit, let's say you can do you can edit, you can replace, you can set. Even Yank patch supports a bunch of operations like set, replace, delete. You can look at the RFC. I can share it with you.
Yeah. Okay, later. we're running out of time here. So just before we close, I think if you want to maybe continue some of this discussion, you can attend the OFSAN PCI call right after this one. If you don't have that information, we can, Shankar, you want to put the link to your meeting in the chat. also, do we want to queue up anything for next time? We do want to have a dedicated session eventually for modeling. Another meeting with the end-to-end network slicing team at some point as well. And maybe Toyn, did you want to also go over into more detail with the CPS concept stuff we sort of started talking about last time?
I would, but I'm not available next week.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. So were there things we want to just queue up for next time that we want to write here now? That's kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, also as we go forward, we should also nail down what exactly we want to do together with CPS for release 8, whether it is SON or network slicing.
Right.
Maybe at least like a minimum thing that we will aim, and then other things, if possible, what shall we achieve?
Okay, good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion next time and we'll leave off from here. And at some point, we'll also have a full modeling discussion as well. So, all right, we're at time. Thank you everybody for attending. I'll let you get onto your next meetings. So have a great weekend.
Thanks,
and stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.